Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. If we're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip. Two, three, four.
Ah, yes. Shalom. Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is your wake-up call for the 16th of February, 2017. The sermon today is going to be titled Same Old, Same Old. We're going to start out right in the book of Genesis where Yahweh is making basically the rules for the beings and creations, the animals and the plants and everything on this planet. And the main theme of the whole first part of Genesis in chapter 1 is each kind unto its kind, or each species unto its species. That's a basic law of nature established by Yahweh. Then you go in the garden. And you got Adam. And you have Chawa, which is known as Eve in your English. It's wrong, but that's what they call her. Then you have the Nachash, which is the serpent. It can be translated as serpent, but actually it means enchanter in that chapter. Fallen angel. So, what was the original sin? Eating of an apple? No. It was the seduction of Chawa by the fallen angel, who appeared to her in a different form, very attractive. She didn't know anything about sex. She had sex with this other being, which is of a different species. That was the original sin. It was race mixing. And the resulting child was Cain, who had the seed of the devil in him. He was not Adam's son. Then Eve got pregnant again. They tried to make it look like Cain and Abel were brothers. They were not. She got pregnant again. If you follow the word study, they were half-brothers, same mother, different father. They were not twins in the same womb, like Esau and Jacob. Abel was younger than Cain. Well, Cain had his father's DNA, the Nachash, the fallen angel, and he followed his father's inclination. And he rose up and he killed Abel. Okay, so then they had Sheth, who was a replacement. And you can see in the seed line of Adam that Cain is not listed because he was not Adam's son. So there was a violation of the first law right there. Race mixing. Now what have we got today? We have all these people race mixing today. And the Jews, they are nothing but a mixed race. They are not a distinct people. they appear in all different guises. They hide themselves in the local population by breeding with the local race of people. So they are the most race-mixed people on the face of the earth. Same old, as it was in the beginning, so it is now. We have the 12 tribes of Israel. Judah did not have any pure-blooded Israelite wives. He had a Canaanite wife, and he had Ur and Onan and Shelah. Well, Ur and Onan were killed by Yahweh. Shelah did not want Tamar. Tamar knew that she was to breed pure Israelite sons. So she tricked Judah by appearing as a harlot and got him to go in unto her. And then later, when they found out that Tamar was pregnant, Judah said, "You've played the harlot. I'm going to have you burned alive." And so she comes up with the signet and the staff. She said, "Whose are these?" And Judah just sort of looked down and said, "You're more righteous than I am. Go away." Got him. And that's the only way Judah had two purebred Israelite sons, Zerah and Perez. Otherwise, he would have been out of the equation altogether, and the tribe of Israel would have disappeared, because Shelah, his only remaining son, was a half-breed Canaanite. Not eligible for anything. They didn't even camp with the tribe of Israel. They were outcasts. So, if it were not for the righteousness of Tamar, following the levirate law, we wouldn't have the seed line that led down to our Messiah. Yahweh engineered that so that seed line would be preserved. Well, Yahweh prevailed on that. Then we get up to the time of Samuel, and the hard-headed Israelites, just like we're hard-headed today, same old, wanted a king. Because Samuel's two sons were appointed judges in the land, and they were greedy for gain, and we're ripping off the people and misbehaving and perverting the law. They weren't acting as good judges. What have we got today? We've got judges that are perverting the law, taking bribes, favoring the corporations, feathering their nests. It's all about them. There's no difference. Same old, same old. Well, this did not please Samuel. When they asked him to make an earthly man king over the nations. Make us a king to govern us like all the nations. Chapter 8, verse 5 of Samuel. Yeah. So Samuel prayed to Yahweh. So Yahweh said to Samuel in verse 7, "Listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, because they have not rejected you, but have rejected me from reigning as king over them." in verse 8, as all the works which they have done from the day I brought them up from Mitzrayim unto this day, they have forsaken me and served other Elohim, the small e Elohim, little g gods, so do they also to you. Now therefore listen to their voice, however yet warn them solemnly, and declare to them the laws of the king that shall reign over them. So, do they accept the word of Yahweh today when those of us warn them and give them the word of Yahweh? No, they reject the word. They reject us and they reject Yahweh. No difference. Same old, same old. Verse 10 of chapter 8 of the book of Samuel. Shemuel told all the words of Yahweh to the people that asked from him a king. He said, these will be the laws of the king that will reign over you. He will take your sons to appoint for his chariots and his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint them as commanders over thousands, commanders over fifties, to plow his plowing and to reap his harvest and to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. Military service. So they take our sons and daughters to do these military services. For whom? Who are they serving? Are they serving the nation? No. They're serving the corporations that run the nation. Same corruption that would have been occurring from a king back then is under our corporate government today. No change. Same old, same old. And they'll take your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and take all your stuff. Taxes. They bleed us dry with taxes today. They take everything. Is there a difference between what a king back then would do and what our governments do to us today? Bleeding us dry? No. Same old, same old. Well, he appointed Shaul as king. And he was a total loser. He was a complete knucklehead. And then they get to King Dawid, the one they call David, which is a mispronunciation. What's he do? He takes another man's wife and has the guy killed, put him on the front line of battle. Then you get Solomon, who's supposed to be so wise. And later in life, he becomes a complete fool and worships pagan gods. Marries outside his race with all kinds of alien women and has all kinds of alien children. And puts up statues and high places of worship and idols. And he had some Israelite children. The wise became a fool. Well, they started the United States of America as a Christian nation, and they were warned by a Samuel-like sage called Benjamin Franklin that if they did not exclude the Jews from this country, in 200 years, your children will curse you, is what he said. And what do we got today? Who runs everything? Who owns everything? Because we didn't listen to that man. As it was then, it is now. Same old, same old. We have that original law. Each kind and to its kind, the very basic premise of natural law. Do we keep that law today? No. Each kind and to its kind? No. As the race mixing began in the Garden of Eden, so it continues today. And now it's the fashionable thing to do. Because Cain went out and intermixed with all the non-Adamics and that satanic seed line of the Cainy eventually disappeared as a distinct people because they mingled with the Canaanites, and that satanic seed line spread through all of them into the Khazars and the Ashkenaz that resulted from that, and the Sephardic Jew, the only ones with actual any small connection to the land of Palestine, but they all have that satanic seed. So as it was then, it is even worse now. Same old, same old. And now it is politically correct to promote race mixing. Oh no, we can't have a Christian government. Everything but Christianity in the government. Oh no. And now Donald Trump has thrown all the Muslim stuff out of the White House, had it removed, and they are going into full panic mode. And the floods that are to invade, those are floods of racial aliens. And here they come. We were warned about that. We were told not to do that. But did we listen? No. Same old, same old. We are told not to put a stranger over us. And the actual aware Israelites did not vote for Barack Obama. Stranger being a racial alien, which is forbidden to rule over Israel. But a lot of the Israelites out there that don't know who they are and are entrapped in the Judeo-Christian churches put that man in office. And they are the left-wing libtards we have to deal with today. So we violate all these premises that Yahweh has established, and it never seems to change. We didn't have any change from the very, very early days where our people went astray. They'd seen all the miracles that Yahweh did, bringing them out of Egypt, yet they formed a golden calf while Moses was up on the mountains getting the Ten Commandments. Have we become less stiff-necked and sinful today? I say no, we have not. Same old. Same old. Well, we have had enough identifications of all these problems that we face. Everybody's exposing the enemy. And they are going ballistic, okay? We understand they are in full panic mode. But it comes down to this, brothers and sisters. What are we as individual Israelites to do about this ongoing age-old problem of the enemy in our midst. Are we going to continue personally on the same old path? Or do we make a change in our personal life to bring us out as individuals from among them to be separate? It's not going to be a mass movement. It's getting down to the one-on-one basis in our relationship with our Father in heaven and our Messiah as to what our individual personal actions must be to come into line with Yahweh's laws. It's going to have to be on a one-to-one commitment basis. You're not going to have a mass movement where everybody's going to repent and convert. Sure doesn't look that way right now. It begins with an individual on a personal level. That person's commitment and belief in Yahweh. That's been outlined in Scripture too, in the great faith of Abram. The belief, the following of that belief in Moshe, when he was spoken to by the divine from a burning bush. And he believed with all his heart. And Yahweh set him up to bring our people out of the land of Egypt, Mitzrayim. And we had a mixed multitude with us as we left. Who was crying for quails in the wilderness? Who was agitating? It was that mixed multitude, which we should not have had with us. Who does all of that today? The mixed multitude among us. Same old, same old. We are to keep the holy seed line pure. Yet we see all these blonde-haired, blue-eyed women going down the street with their trophy Negro on their arm. Oh, I'm so liberal, look at me. And they are violating the basic law of nature set out in Genesis in the very beginning. No change. Same old, same old. The original sin of Chawa, that they call Eve, race mixing with the fallen angel, same old, same old. We know who the enemy is. Oh, anybody that listens to EFR or any of the other sites, they're being exposed. People are finding out. People are waking up. But we look at all that is arrayed against us, which is foretold in the Bible. The Homeland Security Forces. Oh, we're radicals. We're revolutionaries. We're this. We're that. All the labels and the names that they like to call us. Because they are afraid of us because we tell the truth. Oh, we don't want to hear the truth. Don't use that J word. Well, we have plenty of people exposing and bashing these people. That's not the point of this message. The point of this message is, scripturally and spiritually, what are we as single Israelites to do about this problem that we are aware of. The time is not now to take up arms. I'm just going to say that. Oh, you're weak, you're this. No, no. If we're going to fight, we have to fight smart. We are outmanned and outgunned. And our commander has not returned yet. Only when Yeshua returns will we be commanded to do what we have to do. Because until he is with us, we are acting presumptuously. Now, there was instances of presumptuousness in the Bible where we acted on our own without Yahweh being with us, and we were roundly defeated. And that would happen again. We can't take it on ourselves to make this decision. We are to wait on Yahweh. We are commanded to do that all through Scripture. Now, a hint of what is coming, as my favorite verse says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, where it tells of Yeshua coming back in flaming fire with his mighty messengers. Those are avenging angels, the host of heaven. That means the army of Yahweh. And the dead will rise first, and those of pure Israel that have resisted and overcome during the tribulation will be given new bodies, and then will be the time of the gathering and burning of the tares from among the wheat. But if we jump the gun and do it on our own, we are thinking that we know better than Yahweh, and we're going to go by our timetable instead of his timetable. And we've done this before. And what has been the result? Same old, same old. If Yahweh is not with us, we have no hope. Our only hope is in Yahweh and divine interference between the enemy and between us. Because if we do not have Yahweh with us, our Israelite buttocks will be blowing in the breeze, be hanging out there to get swatted. All along, Yahweh has wanted obedience. Obey, 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 obey. Sacrifices are no longer necessary. There is no more remission of sin with blood sacrifice because it was done for the final time by Yeshua Messiah. We're not going back to the old temple ways. We're not rebuilding the temple. We're not bringing back the Levitical priesthood. Doesn't work anymore. He did the final act of redemption for us at Calvary. Now, it rests on us as individuals to accept and abide by the covenant of that sacrifice. The problem lies in our disobedience today. We cannot continue in our disobedience. We must come under subjection to Yahweh. And that takes an act of will on our part. I'm not saying your part, I'm saying our part. I'm an Israelite and I am included in this. And all of this that I'm saying today, I'm right in the middle of it. And I stand for Yahweh. And the persecution that I have to suffer, I have to suffer because they will hate us. It says they will hate us. The truth tellers, we have a target painted on us, folks. Believe me. We are the voices crying in the wilderness today that nobody wants to listen to. Does this make me angry? No, it makes me sad. Very, very, very sad, and I grieve for my brothers and sisters that are not listening and will not get off that fence. Because I know what's coming for them, and I care about them, and I don't want that to happen to them. But they just seem hell-bent on casting themselves over in on the side of the goats. Our relationship with Yahweh is on a one-to-one basis at this point. Being in a church and going to an altar call and making a big scene and being part of the social club does not get you into the kingdom of Yahweh. Because if you're just going to parrot that doctrine made by men, you're in a world of trouble. Yahshua railed against the Pharisees, for they were teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. And what are they doing in the Judeo-Christian churches today? Are they teaching the whole gospel, the truth? Are they teaching church doctrine, which is commandments of men? There's no difference. Same old, same old. We're commanded to come out from among them, the Babylonian system and the Babylonian churches. And we're commanded to be separate. Standing alone as individual Christian Israelites. In the truth, we don't have any big CI congregations out there that meet in mega churches. So we don't put on the trappings, the show that they are putting on. We don't have mega cathedrals. We're not on TV. That is an instrument of the devil. And they only put their own kind on there. And we don't fit in. We are not politically correct. We are biblically correct. And that is very unpopular. And they will kill us all the day long and think they do God a service. The Judeo-Christians will be sicked on us in mass when the time of the tribulation comes, and they are going to be persecuted because they recognize a form of Christ. We don't preach a Jewish Jesus. We don't preach that the law has been done away with, nailed to the cross. So it's okay to do all this other stuff. Eat pork. Do whatever. We don't celebrate pagan holidays in our church. We don't do Easter, Ishtar Sunday for the goddess of fertility, and Christmas, Yule, for the ascension of the sun god Mithra, with the tree of Mithra, as described in the book of Jeremiah. No, we don't do that. It's not fun for the kids. But we do observe Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a commandment. We observe the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a commandment. The Day of Atonement, which is a commandment. Feast of Weeks. Feast of Trumpets. Whew. But boy, are we unpopular. And if you worry about popularity, you're worrying about the world. And the world's going to pass away. hay and stubble. Well, I don't want to be bound up with the hay and stubble and the tares. Because the tares are going to burn. All these people that are doing all these things to us have been warned in the scripture what's going to come to them. And they are busy doing same old, with their persecution and their sin that they promote. That's their main job, to promote sin. Oh, it's okay. No. No, it's not okay. Same old is not acceptable any longer. We are running out of physical time here until the second coming of the Messiah. And it is not going to be a grace coming, it's going to be a vengeance coming. The grace period will end at that point. And those who have not made a decision to come into the camp of the children of Yahweh will have run out of time. This upsets me because there are a lot of people out there that I care about that haven't made that decision. Even people I don't know that are of Israel are my racial kindred, and I care about them because that is a basic teaching of Christian identity. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's your racial kindred. And you just don't abandon them. So I keep on keeping on these shows. Sometimes people listen, sometimes people don't. They turn me off a lot more than they turn me on because I'm a little hardcore. But every teacher of the word was hardcore and was not real popular. I'm not in this to be popular. I'm in this to serve Yahweh. And I cannot serve Yahweh by preaching a social gospel that is watered down, that will tickle your ears and make you feel good. My job as a preacher called by Him is to invoke the Holy Spirit to convict you of your sins, to make you change your lifestyle, to come into the kingdom, because I care about you as Yahweh cares about you. That's the whole point. And if you are an Israelite that has been redeemed and you know it, and you know Yahweh and His laws, it is your duty and your responsibility as an Israelite to witness to your brothers and sisters. Not just my job, your job too. We are to take the talents, the money, which is the Holy Spirit and the gift of redemption, and we are to put it to work in the world. And we are to gather as many to us of the remnant as we can. You are to be a worker in the harvest. You are to spread the word. You may not be a street corner preacher, but you sure can relate the gospel to others. Don't worry about being popular or you're going to be invited to the beer party with the boys. Lay up your treasures in heaven, not here on this planet. Live your life as Yeshua, Messiah, showed you and let people see him in you, in action, in your actions, the way of your life, and how you live it. Give glory to Yahweh, your Father in heaven, by the things that you do as an Israelite. Praise Yahweh, Lord of hosts, Holy One of Israel. Praise Yahshua, risen Redeemer. That'll end the sermon portion here. We got a lot of current events that have happened in total panic. Got resignations, hoof and mouth disease, guys talking out of school, leaks. They're giving Trump just pure hell. He knew what he was getting into. Don't kid yourself. He may do good, he may not. He may keep his promises, he may not. Again, same old, same old. Remember, first, he is a politician now. He wasn't before. He was a wild card that came in. And won over enough people to get elected. Whatever he does is going to be whatever he is allowed to do. Remember, he is just a president. The ones that run the show over him are Congress, and the ones that run the show over them are people that you don't know and never have heard of, that are unelected, that buy themselves these politicians. Donations, perks. You don't really know because it's all hidden and behind the scenes. Secret. All the dealings that Satan has done down through the years have been secret. Same old, again. Continuing on in the vein of the sermon. What do we do as Israelites about this political situation? Well, what do you think you can do? Do you think your vote counts? You think they actually listen to you? Really? They're going to do what they're going to do. There's no point worrying about it because you can't change it. What you can do is keep your eyes and ears open and your nose in the wind to see which way it's blowing. You can prepare your family spiritually by teaching them the word, because that's the only thing that's really going to last. And you can prepare physically for a very bad time coming. Because the Bible says we're going to have this tribulation period after the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to get a lot worse. We're already seeing the snowballing, the increase of violence, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. It's building and building, and it's not going to slow down. It's not going to stop. The police are ordered to stand down. They're not to bother the rioters, and the rioters will target our people by the color of our skin. Random acts of violence, acts of murder, rape, sodomy. We have been told via the internet that they're going to have all these massive arrests in Pizzagate. As soon as Jeff Sessions come in, it was supposed to be last week. Well, it didn't happen now, did it? You heard of anybody getting arrested for Pizzagate? I haven't. But boy, it's going to happen. It's going to. Just listen to the internet. More smoke and mirrors and more deception. Hillary was detained at the airport, not allowed to go to Bahrain. And then what? Then nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. A whole lot of nothing. Talk, 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 no action. Get your hopes up, and then after a while you just forget, and it all goes away. Oh, you remember when, well, I had heard something about that, but nothing happened. Yeah, it was funny how that happens. And it just goes on. Oh, well, I got to go to work. Got an SUV payment to make. And life drones on. And you're sitting at the stoplight, and somebody smashes your window in with a brick and jerks you out of the car and beats you to death. And the only ones that'll be affected by that are people that know you directly. Otherwise, you'll just be a statistic to the rest of the country. Oh, another guy was beaten to death. But they don't say, oh, another white man was beaten to death by a gang of blacks. They don't say that, do they? And you will just disappear and be a memory to only a few people that knew you. And they won't do anything about it either. And the police in your town won't do anything about it either. And it will fade away. Same old, same old. When it happens to other people, it doesn't really matter. But when it confronts you face to face, oh, then it matters. If it's your son that gets beaten half to death at school, or your wife or daughter that gets raped, then you'll be all up in arms. But until then, you'll be asleep. Just like everybody else. But there are a few of us out here that are constantly aware. We have to stay on edge, and it gets tiring. It's like being on recon. You better be aware of your surroundings. Well, the streets of this country are like that now. You better be aware of your surroundings. Don't go into certain areas or drive through knowing you're going to have to stop at a stoplight in the middle of Thugville. That's on you. If you do stupid, you will reap the punishment of stupid. Be aware, because you will have no protection from the police nor the legal system. They will just throw you under the bus and let you go. This is a warning. I'm trying to wake you up. That's why they call it wake up call, okay? You, as an individual white Christian in Israelite, are in danger in this country. More so in certain areas than others, but eventually it's going to come around to your neighborhood. And you better get on board the wake-up machine. Be prepared like the Boy Scouts, okay? You need to get your family prepared to take care of themselves. with food, water, medical supplies, weapons if necessary. If you don't have them now, you better get them. And don't get some little pea shooter. Get something that's going to knock somebody down when it hits them. If you have to shoot them twice, you made a bad choice. Learn how to do simple medical procedures. Learn how to treat wounds and burns and cuts and abrasions, and have enough stuff put back that you can do that. Learn how to set a bone if you had a broken arm or a broken leg. You know? Because there's going to be a time when there's nobody going to come. When you call 911, oh, leave me alone. I'm having a bad day. Click. Nobody's going to come. They're not going to come to help you. You need to help you. You and your family need to be a comprehensive unit of self-help. If you are the man of the house, it is your duty to see that you teach the scriptures to your children, that they are aware of Yahweh's law. That needs to be going on daily. No video games, no none of that garbage. Programming your children to Satan's service. You need to teach your children. Your responsibility, Mr. Israelite. Because they're not going to get it in Sunday school from some Judeo-Christian teacher. They're not going to get it. It's up to you. You need to teach them who they are, that they are Israel. Well, they're a little young for that. No, they're never too young. Never. Quit making excuses. Teach your Israelite children that they are Israelites. That's on you as the man of the house. We have so many women out there that have been abandoned by their men. Weak men. Men that think with their genitals instead of their brain, that will leave a good woman for a younger model and abandon the responsibility of the family because their fragile ego wants to make them think that they are 18 again. Then we got women that like to run and leave a good man. It's on both sides of the fence. This is what angers me when I see single parent families where the spouse, regardless of the sex, has been unfaithful or just can't take the pressure or whatever form of weakness they take and leaves a family. We as an Israelite community need to help those people. You know, a family in need that is around you that's an Israelite family, help them. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Don't be greedy and be a me Israelite. These are all basic laws that Yahweh taught us. That Yeshua taught us. Common sense laws. That's what we are to do in times of trouble. We are to listen to our common sense. And basic laws of survival and basic laws of nature that Yahweh established. get back to the basics for leading our lives that Yahweh gave us. Things are getting more expensive, so you better make some moves on some equipment soon. Little wood-burning camp stoves, water purification, medical supplies, winter gear, shelter, food that will store, equipment to get more food like hunting gear, archery equipment, traps, firearms. You can do a lot with a bow and arrow. Believe me, learn how to shoot. It's silent and reusable. won't alert anybody as to your presence if you take a deer or whatever. But family prayer should be first on the list. You should get close to Yahweh as close as you can. Keep getting closer all the time. That's the premier need that we have as Israel today, is to approach to Yahweh with all our heart and all our being. You can't make a mistake when you do that. Well, we're watching Washington self-destruct and all the infighting and the ridiculous screaming liberals screaming about nonsense. And I really am enjoying watching them implode. I really am. It just gives me great pleasure and great hope. And we can just keep hoping that Trump will make the right choices. He's only been in office a short time. We will see what we will see. We can't change it, but we can sure keep an eye on it. Well, it's coming down the end of the hour here. I will be back next week with Wake Up Call on Thursday, but we have a repeat of this broadcast at 11 a.m. on Saturdays, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So if you didn't get all of this broadcast, you can hear it again at 11 a.m. I have good news. I got a call from Pastor Mullet, and Pastor Mullet has come through his surgery all right and is healing nicely. Keep him in your prayers, please. He is a true brother and a wonderful man. So I will say Shalom Aleichem to all of you now. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh and praise Yeshua, our Messiah.
Live. Left, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip,